Welcome to the inaugural Gulf Coast Poker Podcast. I'm Ben Mintz, coming to you from the ESPN 104.5 Baton Rouge Podcast Studio, joined by my multiple partners in crime. We've got Bill Phillips of Gulf Coast Poker. Bill, how are you doing?
I'm good.
And we're also joined by his partner, Gene D, GulfCoastPoker.net. Gene, what's up, man? How are you?
What's up, guys? Excited about the podcast.
And I'm very excited as well because we've gotten to do some stuff in the past. GulfCoastPoker.net, I believe, going on now for 9 or 10 years. Y'all have built up a big following in the South and have your own tournament series. Y'all have a big brand and obviously getting access to the ESPN Baton Rouge. I think we've got a real good situation on our hands here, fellas. To it because we've got our first guest is going to be a heck of a lot of fun and someone everyone's familiar with, certainly in the South. We're going to bring in Chase, the Harrah's NOLA Poker Room manager, and we got a lot of questions for Chase today with Harrah's NOLA coming back from COVID. Chase, how are you, and thank you for coming on the podcast.
I'm doing well, and thanks for having me. This sounds like a good group. I know Bill and Gene well, and nice to meet you, Ben. I'm excited about this also.
All right, Bill, y'all want to go ahead and ask some questions for Chase today?
Sure. Chase, obviously, I know you, and you've been the poker room manager now for a couple of years, it has. How did you get started in the poker?
I started back in 94 with Boomtown Casino and Table Game. I worked there for 5 years, and then I left the industry and moved to Atlanta. And I worked in the restaurant industry, and then moved back to New Orleans and came on with Harrah's and Table Games again. And then an opportunity arose that poker was available and we were looking for some new leadership. So I was tasked with that arduous task of getting that poker room back active and back on the map. So came in 3 years ago and fairly new to poker, and I listened, had a lot of good conversations, listened to the players, listened to the employees, and then we made some changes and adjustments, and things have been going well ever since.
Gene, do you have a question for him?
Chase, explain to us a little bit about how the poker room is going right now with the COVID and all the COVID challenges. How long were you guys down, closed, and so on and so forth?
So we shut down, the entire casino shut down back in March, and then the casino reopened in June. The poker room reopened September 5th. And with the state and city guidelines, we've been trying to, follow their guidelines and run a decent room. So this is new to everybody. So in leading up to the opening, I had a lot of conversations with a lot of poker managers around the industry, around the country, and everybody seemed to be doing something different based on their jurisdiction. Being in Louisiana, we were a little behind the curve on reopening our casino, so I kind of looked at what they were doing around the country, and the Caesars brand set a standard as to what our limitations were. So first and foremost, we had to follow local jurisdictions, and then we wanted to be somewhat on the same page as a brand. So we decided to open up five-handed, and I knew that was going to be tough. Players just don't like a five-handed game, and we reduced the rake, but the games play bigger, but also play faster. So the blinds fly around the table, which entices a lot of action, right? So that was a good thing. So our bigger players love the game because they saw a lot more hands. But with that being said, with the game playing faster, the tables would break faster. So you have players in and out. Players that normally sat for 3 to 4 hours were now only sitting for 2 hours. So we had to keep a healthy waiting list, which was tough to do because you still had a lot of players who are apprehensive about the setup itself. So some of the brands, some of the properties around the country were going to plexiglass. We opted out of that. We thought that changed the game into the way in which the game is played. played because it disconnects you from the next player. We went with face mask and, you know, hand sanitizer on the table and washing of the chips constantly, sanitizing the cards frequently. Players are not allowed to eat anymore in the room. So we made changes that would ensure the safety of not only the guests but our employees. But that changes the game. So I looked at what Vegas and Atlantic City were doing, and five-handed seemed to be the way to go. So we did that. It struggled for a while, and the players started to get acclimated, and it's got better. They're getting better. And I see other rooms are going six-handed, seven-handed. So we requested that, you know, to increase our player per table, but have yet to hear anything yet.
So you requested from the city?
There's a system. So we have to request from the company, from Caesars. They approve it, then I request to the city, and then the city approves it, then I request to the state police, which is our entity that governs the gaming in Louisiana. Once they approve it, then we can move forward. So it's a process, and it takes three weeks to possibly a month to get approved.
Go ahead, Jake.
I'm sorry, bro.
Does the alcohol shut off at 10 nowadays?
So it started off at 10, and then they moved it back an hour, and it does affect things, especially in table games and slots. Poker players don't tend to drink as much alcohol as table games and slots players. So initially, I didn't see the fall off that they saw, but now I'm starting to feel, especially on weekends, with the cheap tourists that are coming in, it does affect their play. So at 11 o'clock when we call, make last call, you know, make sure everybody gets a drink at 11, and that's it for the night. It's coffee, tea, and soda after that. And it does affect the game. So we had games that would last, you know, well into 4, 5 o'clock Friday and Saturday and Sunday morning. We're not seeing it anymore. So the games are breaking around 2, you know, 2, 3 o'clock is the latest we've seen so far.
Good deal. You guys, the end of the night is kind of grandfathered in, right? So, like, if the game is open, you can play until it closes, whatever it is, but you can't open a new game after a certain hour after midnight.
What we've been doing, at a certain time, we stopped allowing new players in because I can't run 24 hours. And the state approves a certain time frame. So, I stopped allowing, we stopped allowing new players in, which in essence would happen. Would allow the game to naturally break. But we've been, after the game gets to a certain level of play, we kind of combine tables. It'll keep the game going. So the bigger players will stay and create a bigger game, which will last all night.
One of the challenges facing the Rams, which is so focused on tourism as like one of the major drivers of the economy, and all the restaurants and all the businesses related to that. Are you seeing the effect with the players that are willing to come in, that are not afraid of the COVID, but maybe just bankroll issues and other things are impacting the room? Is that something that...
We have a strong local base, but, the tourism made the room that much stronger. With the lack of tourism, the local base is dwindling because there's not that influx of money, of play every weekend. So, you see, the little tourists we're getting, it vitalizes the room, but not like it used to. So when, there's no conventions and there's no big festivals or events happening in the city, the local players is starting to understand that, hey, the new game in town is just us. And every now and then we'll get a little spark of energy from a few tourists that stroll through, but now that the game is just us, so I can tell you, it's kind of redundant to see, I can tell you who's coming on Wednesday, who's coming on Thursday, what Saturday is going to look like, based on the knowledge of the players that I have. So, once the Saints games used to be a big push for us, especially home games, we're not even seeing that push anymore. That's tough. That's tough for my local players. Because it's, they can only last what they with competing bankrolls against each other for so long.
Yeah, that's true. And a lot of people, bankrolls are affected too by less people in the restaurants, less people on the toys or whatever business they're associated with. That's outside of poker too.
Yeah, the restaurants, and then we have our offerings inside the casino are limited also. So we have the buffet is no longer, the steakhouse has limited hours. Like I said before, we don't allow eating in the room, which changes the game. So players don't play as long as they used to play. So the average time now, which used to be 6 hours, 5 to 6 hours, this hasn't cut down to 2 to 3 hours. And that's tough. The schedule that we're limited to also changes. So we have guys that were early morning players, late night players. So now everybody's trying to cram their play into a limited, 12-hour option that I have, and it's changing the way they play.
It's a very different game in the morning at Harris New Orleans than it is in the evening, and then it is on the weekends, and then it is during a tournament. Like, there's the action and everything varies, and I can imagine now you're kind of putting all those same players together. It's pretty interesting to see what happens.
And you know, action. You're the tournament guy, right? And we postpone tournaments. I think, and you can help me with this. You think once we go six-handed, you think a six-handed tournament would go off?
I mean, I'm not sure space-wise and how often you would do it. You're saying on a weekly basis? I think you would definitely have people looking for it. People are ready to play. I'm finding that out when we're doing that event up in Pearl River in November. And by the way, thank you for allowing us to use the Poker God dates, since we're not doing Poker God this year at Harris. But there's a lot of people ready to get out, play live tournament poker, and there's a lot of people not ready to. But the ones that are ready to play, they are eager and excited. I'm getting a lot of positive feedback in regards to that. So I think end of the year, let's do a tournament series.
Yeah, okay. I don't think that's a good
idea. I'm actually hoping that we can do something before that. So if I can get six-handed approved within a few weeks, I think I might test one of my weekly tournaments, maybe a Saturday tournament. My tournament guy, Robert Gerstner, offered up a good idea. I think it's called a shootout tournament, where then six players will play down to two, and then you combine, and those six players, and you combine tables, and then those six players will play down to two until you get to a final table, something like that.
Yeah, those are fun.
Yeah, I think we might try that.
That's talking about some fun stuff. And I'm sorry, go ahead, Gene. Yes, question.
Oh, no, go ahead.
I was going to say, there's a lot of different things to touch on, but I've heard from somebody else, what was your first exposure to poker, and what was the setting that you, maybe as a young kid that or a teenager that you were exposed to? Tell us a little bit about that.
My family has a restaurant, and one of the things that what happened, we had these elderly ladies who had poker clubs and card clubs, and I used to work. I would serve them. Eventually, I got to learn how to play working in that environment. And then there were private games that we would have. In the twilight of the night in the restaurant.
You want to share the name of the restaurant?
My family owns Dickie Chase's restaurant in New Orleans. We opened it in 1941. It's been around a while.
Yeah, a landmark restaurant.
Yeah, I didn't realize that. That's not just New Orleans history. That's American history. That's amazing.
Yeah. But those poker games no longer happen in the restaurant.
Yeah.
Chase, I
got a quick question. You know, a lot of us live players get a lot of tells from the face, the neck area. I'm not going to explain some of the stuff Bill and I look for. But what sort of mass are you seeing? Are you seeing the loop over the ears mass? Are you seeing the neck sock? What sort of mask are you
wearing? We give out masks at the door if you don't have one. So most players wear the mask that we give out, and it's that surgical blue loop over the ear. But most players that come and have their own mask, they're wearing the gator mask. I think they call it. It's like the scarf that comes above your, you know, covers your face. A lot of sportsmen use it. Fishermen and hunters use it. We're seeing that. Now, one thing we did have to change because of the mask. All action has to be clarified by the dealer. So all in bet has to be, it's not no longer verbal because the communication sometimes is unclear with the mask. So your action has to be physical.
Good deal. So you guys give away the loops, but you're saying a lot of the players are using the neck socks.
Yeah.
Or those gator things also.
Yeah.
Okay, good deal.
So your grandmother's Dookie Chase, right? She's a celebrity.
My grandmother's Lloyd Chase. My grandfather's nickname was Dookie Chase.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Okay.
Apologies. And she took over the restaurant.
Yeah.
Correct. Right. That's right. So speaking of celebrities in the room, I know when times were bumping, we had a lot of movies and TV things filmed here, a lot of visiting celebrities and athletes. Like, what do you have to do as a room manager to accommodate them? And I've seen a lot just sit down and just play the regular game, but you got any interesting stories with some of the athletes and celebrities?
Actually, very little. So we have a few basketball players that come through when the Pelicans are playing. We have a few, you know, football players that come through. But very little. They don't ask for much. Every now and then they'll ask for a private game, but they want local players on it because they want to, you know, be able to control who sits and who doesn't, which, you know, every now and then we'll honor that request. But when players come through, they want to be treated just like everybody else. They don't want any special treatment. They know that they know their presence is going to change the action on the table. Whether they're lack of respect because they're a celebrity and they don't aren't seen as a real poker player, but all the anticipation that they have a large bankroll, but the action definitely changes and everybody normally wants to get on that game. But as far as scenarios that were out of control or odd, not many when it comes to local stars or athletes or stars or anything like that.
Yeah, well, I've been in there and. Like you said, that you kind of turn around and just sitting in your game, like being a famous basketball player, or a co-writer, an actor, whatever. I think the one that stood out for me is, not sure if you were there that night, Kevin Hart's been in, and he just kind of takes over the room, and it's hilarious. He's basically doing stand-up from two tables away. I mean, he really creates a great vibe in there. But others want to be kind of hidden. He's like spotlight on him.
Yeah, he's not that great of a player. he likes the attention, he likes the atmosphere of the room, and he likes to create excitement in the game, which, you know, poker's not that exciting. So when he comes in, it does change the atmosphere, and he likes that.
Hey, non-celebrity crazy things that have happened to you that you're able to share with us?
Outside of the normal tussle and argument, you know, when the tourists come in and you know, they want to play that home game in the room and things get out of control. Outside of that, you know, we have our Mardi Gras stories where the guy says all in and takes off his clothes and throws them on the table and says, I said all in. You know, nothing out of the Mardi Gras norm, you know, I would consider more exciting than that.
Wow. Somebody really did. What'd you do?
I understand. Yeah, that's not enough to cover the pot, you know. But no, we just spy left and put his clothes back on. That's it.
Yeah. I want to do that one,
right? Yeah.
Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, I mean, present company included, poker players in general are kind of know-it-alls and probably always have a better idea and always are trying to give you input or whatever. How do you put up with us?
So one thing I follow is that you always listen. Everybody wants to tell you something. I listen. I hear. You know, that's one thing that made us from successful is that I listen to what the players have to say. And a lot of the players have good ideas. Some of them, most of their ideas are tuned into what they want, their needs, not necessarily what's best for the room, but what's best for them. And you kind of got to, you know, filter through what'll have an impact. And a lot of things that we've done in the past have come from players, and as well as my dealers. I mean, I have a group of dealers who are passionate about this, about poker, and, you know, they have a lot of great ideas. They've been in the industry, you know, 20, 30 years, some of them, and they've seen everything. So they are probably more in tune than anybody in the poker world. So I did one thing that I allowed my dealers to come up with the promotions that we did. And I think you might remember we did something called a power hand, which was hugely successful.
Yep.
Yeah, so that came from one of, that was a dealer idea. And, you know, a lot of players want, payback. So, you get a refund based on the amount of hours you play. So that to me is self-serving. So the player who only casually plays 3 or 4 hours a week, it won't benefit them. But the guy who's in here, you know, this is his livelihood, 40 to 50 hours a week, it'll benefit him. So that's those kind of things I kind of am wary of because it's not beneficial to everyone. I like to do things that benefit the entirety of the room, not just one person.
Yeah, for sure.
I got to give it to you. You've had some great ideas. We've done some good things with tournaments. The structures that you won, that you won for the Gulf Coast Poker Championship and the August thing that we did, those are great tournaments. We had great turnouts. They liked the bankroll that we start with versus the buy-in, the time frames, the bounties. I mean, the guarantees that we've done have all been successful. So again, I came in for table games. I wasn't a poker guy. I listened to you guys, the experts, and kind of put all that together and came up with something that's going to be successful, and I think we've done well.
You know, I think that's been a great asset to you in a weird way, because you came in open, right? Like, this is somewhat new to you, and you were willing to listen and get feedback from everybody, and you know, I think that's done wonders in the room, because everybody feels heard, and a lot of stuff that somebody comes up with, they actually see it enacted. Mm-hmm. And I've heard very happy with you. So hopefully you'll be at the room for a long time. Where do you see Harris in the next year or two? You know, as we come out of this COVID and pandemic, anything that's going to be happening?
When we were shut down, I pondered constantly about what's next. What does poker look like after this, or what does the casino look like after this? And I really couldn't tell you. I know this. I know our focus is to get back to where we were. Now, a timeline on that, I don't have it. I mean, it's all fluid. It's daily, really. I get updates from the company. I get updates from the city, the state, on a daily basis. So, if I have to look at it, I would say 6 months. My goal is, hopefully, that I would be with the WSOP in mind, that I would be one of the first ones to host a normal WSOP event. If everything falls into place like we think it will, we may have WSOP in New Orleans in 2021. That's my goal. But that would be a success for me, yes.
Any word on when the World Series might have WSOP?
They're very tight-lipped. They're not discussing it, not much right now. Everything been suspended. We're not, you know, we're not having those active conversations. It's just status quo right now. Let's see where this takes us, and we'll plan when we have a better idea of you know, where the country is, you know. That's kind of their stance right now. So there's no plans at all. I mean, online is what they are focused on, and that's, you know, that's going to have to be the way it is for now.
Is there any ideas, like, in the future for to marry kind of, I guess it's just so limited to the state, so, you know, but,
that's
a destination for an online poker player winning a package.
Right.
You know, is that something WSOP has considered?
Not. They haven't had conversations about any type of promotions or events to host, you know, anything like that. It's really everything suspended and let's see what happens, kind of. Because they can't make plans because every state is different, right? So one state may allow something that we won't allow. So they can't make these general plans for the brand. So they just haven't. They really are. Hey, 2020 is done. Let's focus on how we can scrap 2021 to have some resemblance of normalcy. And if the timeline holds, if you listen to the local politicians and you listen to the national politicians, you know, spring or next summer may be optional for us. We may have some openings there. And that's when we are. You know, we're May 2021, and if all things fall into place, that would be great for us.
That could be perfect. It might even be the very first, some point possibly. Or I think Oklahoma, there's rumors that they're going to be doing something. I don't know if that's a WSOP event or not, but there's rumors that they're going to have a tournament beginning of next year.
I just want to chime in. I think it's going to come back really big whenever it does come back. I know we're all in this, like, patient, weird holding period, but I agree with what Bill said earlier. People are ready to gamble and fire, and I think there's a chance we could have a little bit of a reboom here if we can just – whenever that day comes. I think there's more long-term optimism than people realize is my only point.
I hope so, and I have faith that things are going to – I know the players are out there and they're ready to play. I'm getting – you know, feedback every day, but I'm very optimistic. I really anticipate exactly what you said, Ben, that when it comes back, it's going to come back strong, and we're going to be ready for it.
I like that. Well, Chase, we really appreciate you joining us on the inaugural Gulf Coast Poker Podcast. Before we let you go, how can we follow Harrah's NOLA and everything y'all have got going on in that room?
So, I update Bravo as, if you have the Bravo app, I update it as frequently as much as I can. Also, we have a Harrah's Facebook page. We don't have a Harrah's Facebook poker one yet. I understand it's an unofficial one, but we don't run that one. But we do have a Harrah's Facebook New Orleans page. You can follow. We try to update that, but the information has been very limited because there's really no information to share. But once things change, we're going to be very aggressive with advertising. I'm going to talk to Bill about doing some stuff with GulfCoastPoker.net and their website. Just to get the word out there that, you know, things are going and things are happening in Harrah's.
Awesome. Well, we really just appreciate your time. And, thanks for, you know, answering all these questions because it's such a different world, you know, running a poker room during the COVID era. And, you know, I think you gave us some really good information. And just wish you and the poker room good luck getting through these times because I think this too shall pass, as we said. And keep up the good attitude for sure.
All right. Thank you, Ben. Thank you, Bill. Gene, good to hear from you, man.
It's been a while, man. I wanted to let you get in if you got any promotions coming up at the end of the year or something that you got planned. If not, we'll leave you, but if you do,
we're going to start our promotions back up when we go six-handed. We're going to do the bad beat, which our bad beat currently sits at about $212,000. You can imagine that on a six-handed table. That's a pretty nice payout. Promotions will start. We'll probably start with some of the norms, you know, aces cracked and things like that. We're going to get creative and start some big splash to pots once we can expand the hours. I'm considering splashing the pot for 1 hour. When the table opens, we splash the pot for 1 hour every table. until we, you know, a certain point of the day. We would do some things that can, well, when Tice gets to come back in and, you know, get back to their normal lives, their normal poker lives.
Yeah. Sounds good. That's, you're right about the bad beat. That's a, that is a nice payday when you get the six-handed for anybody that hits it, for sure.
Hey guys, but I'm, I hate to cut here, but I really appreciate you guys. But I got a jackpot to just hit up on the phone and go play on table game.
All right, well, thanks again. Thanks again to Chase of Noah Poker Room Manager for taking the time to join us on the Gulf Coast Poker Podcast. Appreciate his time. We're going to keep it here with Bill, Gina, and me to talk about some stuff going forward. And fellas, first of all, I thought that was great to have Chase on to talk about just navigating the waters of live poker during this COVID era. And I'm just personally glad to hear Harris Nola back open and even playing 5-6 handed, because that's certainly a step in the right direction.
I think you're right. I did notice that, like you said, there are some properties in Las Vegas that are doing the glass thing, but they've chosen not to do that. I'm curious to see how that's going to all play out. And so the boat is opening back up. Are they doing glass? No, do we know?
Thursday, October 1st, they will have glass. The IP is currently open with plexiglass, as I understand it. And I think both of those rooms are six-handed, not 100% on the numbers, but I think they are six-handed. I haven't played it either, but I do know people, I know people that played at the IP and people that are playing at Harris right now. They enjoy it. You know, the action is good, like Jay said. So.
That's good. It's interesting. It's just fascinating to me because the risk tolerance, everybody's, you know, debating what to do. And are y'all finding, I know people, I've been hearing about a lot of home games going on still. Obviously, there's been online action during the pandemic. We all saw Poker Bros blew up, the iPhone app, and it still seems like online's pretty good. But feels like the online, we had like a 3-4 month boom with the pandemic that kind of feels like it's winded down to me. Have either of y'all played any online or live lately?
I haven't played any online. I was, again, still kind of holding out, hoping that Louisiana will, you know, become legal. I know there's these apps out there, and there's some rooms that are taking American players, but, you know, after what happened last time, I just have a little bit of hesitancy putting money online. And, you know, what was happening with Poker Stars and Full Tilt back in the day?
I've had conversations with folks about this. Ben Saxton, who we've spoken to in the past, he's author, he's kind of covering New Orleans poker scene, and one of the things he's dove into is the history of the game. And we were discussing how when the game was kind of illegal with the pandemic, you know, all of our legal venues were shut down, and then you had the boom of the apps and the boom of the home games, and that follows a long tradition in New Orleans and the Gulf Coast, where when they didn't have the casinos, people still found a way to play poker and play it big and whatever. And I do know of a ton of home games and a lot of different outlets that people use for the 4 months until kind of Harris opened up. And you're exactly right, Ben. They have kind of dwindled down as live poker's kind of ramped up. And it's, you know, it's fascinating. People, even at the worst of it, you know, when we had some of the highest infection rates in the country, people are finding a way to play poker. It's like it's some sort of need or something, which I think we can all relate to as poker players. But
I want to ask too. I know y'all been running some tournament. I don't know if y'all are trying to. You know, y'all been doing some kind of home game tournaments that have been pretty fun during this pandemic, right? Online.
Yeah, I've played in some tournaments that it's kind of a home game. It's kind of a venue for the players that couldn't play at Harris. Mostly, and there's, you know, friends of friends and stuff like that, and that ran while kind of Harris was down.
now that they're ramping up, you know, I think the home game is just like the poker app is kind of diminished, and people are dipping their toes on the live scene. But a lot of people have also been going to Houston and a lot of the places that never shut down, you know, like the kind of underground clubs in Houston. I think they, in Texas for the most part, ran the whole way through. I don't even know if they even had hiccups. You know, maybe they went shorthanded and wore masks, but I don't think they ever went down. Do you guys know?
I think they were still going from what I heard during the whole thing, those Texas clubs. And like you said, I think there is a lot of people that feel, as you do, that it's like the poker thing's kind of a need and an outlet, and especially during the pandemic because people are, you know, have so much more free time. I mean, that's why we saw a lot of the online re-blow up. There's even more of a need when people don't have social alternatives to go out and do with their time. So it's kind of been just an interesting time this year, seeing the online re-blow up. But now I kind of, Bill, what you said, I back up. I think people are ready to play live poker again. You know, people did the online thing for a few months through the summer just to have something is better than nothing. But I think everybody's ready to, you know, hopefully get this thing rolling again. And, I mean, I stand by what I said earlier to Chase. I really actually do feel optimistic. I know that it's not a short-run thing to feel optimistic about, but and I don't know if it's going to be spring or summer 2021, but I do think when it comes back, it's going to come back really, really big. I just, you know, it's all about having patience until that day, in my opinion.
To switch to online right quick, did anybody run any online races? I tried to track the World Series of Poker online. Who wound up winning the main event? Do you guys know?
I heard that he was not from the Gulf Coast, because I've kind of been tracking. I believe he was a European.
Probably European, yeah, that's what I was thinking.
I know Michael Lesh from Arkansas had a pretty deep run in that, and he won a bracelet earlier in the series. I think he might have made the final 20 or 30 for a nice little cash. He was the guy I was kind of tracking. You know, he's a friend of friends, so I was kind of looking at him, you know, a little bit of the outside of our footprint, I guess. Yeah. In Arkansas.
While we're on that too, for, you know, us getting this podcast going, I kind of want to let's talk a little bit about just what Gulf Coast Poker, you know, y'all's history, and you know what y'all cover and what areas and what y'all are into for our listeners. And you know, this all started as a website, GulfCoastPoker.net, I believe, right before the turn of the last decade.
Basically, we started out as a hobby, and you know, we basically cover the entire Gulf Coast from Florida all the way around to Brownsville, Texas, and as deep north as we can. You know, we wanted to highlight a lot of the local players that were out there doing things, and you know, their families. They weren't hitting the big mainstream media, but they were making some nice scores, and you know, whenever you're a poker player and, you know, your family might don't realize it's a strategy game. You know, it's like chess, pool or backgammon kind of thing. So that's how it started. And then all of a sudden it turned into a very time consuming hobby. And then Bill and I were like, you know what, let's just, you know, roll it in, create the LLC and start selling advertising. And, you know, back in the day, of course, that was when the online stuff was rocking and rolling pre-Black Friday. We had some recurring revenue coming in. And then, you know, when all that went down, we just, you know, you see all the online sites that have come and go. Poker Road is one. But, you know, we just stuck to work, you know, workforce and, you know, didn't grow too big too fast. And here we are. We're, you know, gaining a lot of traction the past couple of years. We're sponsoring a bunch of tournaments. We got Pokeball with Harris, and you know, we're excited about the future. Bill, anything to add?
Yeah, 100%. And I think we're lucky because the way we started, it was kind of a hobby and just kind of shining a spotlight on friends and friends of friends and people we met in the game. So our site more than a lot of others is kind of a community. And originally it was called GulfCoastPoker.net, partly because it was a network of poker players. And I still kind of view the site and, you know, our Facebook pages and our social media and our tournaments is kind of facilitating the community there, you know. So it's a much, the players that show up to all of our events who are incredibly grateful to do that, they're as much a part of it as Mayor Dean. You know, it's kind of this big community in the South, and we just kind of want to be a hub in the center for people. And, you know, that's a whole game plan, and we're so glad to partner with you, Ben, and be able to kind of broaden that hub and give them some more content to consume. I can't tell you how many times me and Gene, as we got started, would sit down in a poker tournament and somebody might ask us, you know, what we kind of do or whatever, or, you know, something about, or somebody else might mention the site while we're there, and then just somebody we've never met before will go, you know, I go to that site every week. The one thing they say to us is you should update it more, which, you know, we try and update as much as we have content that affects the region. But that's incredibly gratifying that there are people that value that content and use it, consume it in terms of making decisions about where they're going to play poker, what kind of tournaments they're going to support, what their friends are doing. You know, but I think we've been very lucky that we've grown as a community more than just kind of this, you know, entity that people just click on every now and then. You know, I think people, it's kind of a family in a weird way. I don't know if you perceive it as that.
No, I think I do. And I think especially with the Louisiana and Mississippi poker scenes, those two, I mean, Gulf Coast, y'all cover stuff all the way up to Oklahoma, to Cherokee, North Carolina, down into Florida, but especially Louisiana and Mississippi. I mean, I think, you know, most of the poker scene that are consistent really, you know, follows y'all in both states, in my opinion. And, you know, you look at what y'all have built with the Gulf Coast Poker Series. You know, I know we had one up at Horseshoe Bossier last year. You know, certainly we're going to spend a podcast talking about the Gulf Coast Poker event coming up in Philly. I believe that's going to be one of our next podcasts. And then, you know, clearly with Poker Graw and Harris Knoll, it's kind of been y'all's home and center. And also y'all cover the Biloxi area. I mean, you've got a very, very strong footprint in both of those states, in my opinion.
Yeah. And, you know, as said earlier, we're incredibly grateful to have this opportunity to partner with you, ESPN Baton Rouge, to do this podcast. It's kind of the next step, and I hope we're going to be able to, you know, I think the first thing you said to us when we talked about this podcast was all the great stories that we have on the Gulf Coast in terms of players and backgrounds and how entertaining they'll be to be on the podcast. And, you know, you sold me on that, and I'm excited to hear some of those personalities sit down with us and talk to us about, you know, getting into poker.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. We've got so many funny – that's the thing about the South is we've got the funniest characters. We've got a lot of great poker players too. And we're going to have a fun variety of guests. We're also going to talk about all the stuff y'all are doing with Gulf Coast Poker, with the live series and the website. And a big part of this next year, just kind of – you know, looking for the long-term plan of the podcast. I mean, I'm planning, whenever this live poker comes back, I'm just doing a lot of things in my life personally right now where I'm going to make a really big poker comeback in 2021. And that's going to be a lot of fun to follow on this because I'm going to be targeting, you know, Oklahoma to Cherokee, North Carolina to all the Louisiana, Mississippi events. And, you know, maybe we'll see on some Florida and Colorado if I get hot. But, you know, a lot of the stuff that GulfCoastPoker.net covers is going to be what I'm going to be focusing on. And I think it's going to be really fun to just get out and promote all these tourneys and, you know, and looking forward to y'all's events. I think this could, you know, whenever that day comes on the live poker thing, I think this is going to be a really, really fun journey for all our listeners and followers.
The destroyer.
Yeah, we're going with the clear mind, full heart, like Friday Night Lights, you know, and see what's going to happen on this live poker tour. But first of all, so I want to thank. Do y'all have anything else y'all want to promote here? I know we're going to do is next week. We should talk about. I know y'all are getting excited for the comeback event, Gulf Coast Poker Philly.
For sure, that's November 12th. The schedule was just released. We got that up on our Facebook page and on our main site, that they're really going for it. I mean, it seems like it's, you know, business as usual. And then, I mean, obviously it's going to be six-handed or eight-handed or as many as it will get gaming approval for. That's what
they're going to go with, but they got guarantees out there, and they're ready to rock and roll, and there's, like we talked about, there's players out there itching to get there. I can't tell you how many people are already asking about loans and, like, information about getting that tournament, so that's pretty cool.
This is Gold, and so for our list, so it's Gulf Coast Poker Event in Philadelphia, Mississippi. You know, how can the, you can check your Facebook page? How can they you know, follow up on this if they're interested?
Schedules on our main site, www.gulfcoastpoker.net. We also have a Facebook page and a Facebook group that supports us, and that information is there. The tournament itself is at Pearl River Resorts, which is near Philadelphia, Mississippi. It's the Golden Moon Casino. There's two casinos there, but the tournament area will be in the Golden Moon Casino. And it's a nice kind of resort area. They got two great golf courses. They call it the Augusta you can play. They also have Oric Park, which will not be open in November, but they got a lot of amenities, a lot of dining options. It's a great getaway. They also have a sports book. I don't know if you would be interested in that, Ben. You know, it's like a great getaway if you're looking to get some action, for sure.
I'm a big fan. I've been over there. Anytime you go to Philadelphia, you got to give our friend Michael Monahan a shout out. You know, we're all playing for second up there in Philly with what he's been able to do there the last few years. It's been pretty dang incredible. Well, awesome. Well, I just want to thank both of y'all for coming on this. I guess it's the inaugural version of this iteration of the Gulf Coast Poker Podcast. We're going to get this up on 1045ESPN.com, through ESPN Baton Rouge, as well as the GulfCoastPoker.net website. And we're going to get this thing rolling. I think Chase was the Harris Nola Poker Room manager, was a great inaugural guest, kind of letting everyone know what's going on with Harris Nola. And, man, I look forward to many more. We're going to get some big-time Funny South characters on here, and we're going to touch base certainly on that, talk a lot more about the Gulf Coast Poker Philly event coming up in next week's edition. But Bill and Gene, just want to thank y'all both here for this Gulf Coast Poker Podcast. This was a fun one getting this thing going.
Good deal. Thank you, man.
Y'all on Twitter, you can follow Bill, I believe, at Gulf. Bill, what's the at Gulf Coast Poker Twitter again?
At GCPNet.
Okay.
All one word.
He's at GCPNet. I'm at BenMintz531 on Twitter. And Gene, what's your Twitter again?
I'm at GCPGeneD.
Okay. So at GCPGeneD for Gene. But follow us all on Twitter. We're all over social media. And look forward to the next edition of the Gulf Coast Poker Podcast with ESPN Baton Rouge. And I want to thank our listeners for bearing with us on this inaugural one. We've got a whole lot more fun editions ahead. We're going to be doing these every week. And so we're going to try to get real consistent with these and get this thing going as we head into 2021. And appreciate y'all's time.